Hey, this is Tyler Florence, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN.
All the leaves are brown.
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here, actually with Logan Theater. We are here with a guy who's been on the road. He travels the country for all the great shows for Food Network and food trucks and so many different things. And of course, you know, as an ambassador for great food and great products and restaurants and the culinary scene. And here he is in Chicago, the one and only Tyler Florence, restaurateur, author. Now we add, you know, of course, cornerstone of the Food Network and so much of that programming. Now adding filmmaker in a big way here with Uncrushable. Tyler, welcome to WGN.
First of all, it is a pleasure to sit and talk to you anywhere, because you and I bump into each other sometimes in like the craziest like film festivals or food festivals now and like and around the country. And I got to tell you, these are always my favorite interviews. I love talking to you, man. I really, really do.
Well, the listeners love hearing you and hearing you in a bunch of different ways. And I think this is a way for you to kind of showcase what it is you do, what it is you can do that is outside of the way people typically enjoy you. And I know the stuff that you do, you know, with Wolf It Down and the videos. Yeah. And of course, everybody knows the food television side. When it came to making a film, obviously this is something near, dear, close in so many different ways. But what was that thought process where like, hey, you know, I want to document this. Let's make a movie. That's tough.
It was a very interesting muscle to flex when we started filming Uncrushable, because I don't think we realized what we were filming until we were probably halfway finished with it, until we realized we had enough content for a feature-length documentary film. To me, it was just a moment that we just wanted to capture this, because that's always my gut instinct. I always travel with cameras. I'm usually filming every day. I live my life attached to a microphone more days than I don't, right, because I'm just on television all the time. And my own production company, we're always shooting stuff with Food Network. So it's my instinct just to pull a camera out, kind of like set up a frame and just hit record and start shooting something that's in front of me all the time. So when the fires broke out on October 8th, 2017, it was Columbus Day weekend. My family was still at the beach. We had rented a beach house in Marin County. There's this amazing little beach called Stinson we always vacation at. And it's right across the hill. It's a super easy little getaway. But I had come home early because I had a flight to Seattle the next day. I had an event to go to. But as I was driving back across the hill, where we live now in Corte Madera, which is just across the Golden Gate Bridge in Marin County. We're just like just on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. And the skies were starting to fill with smoke in a way that just felt dangerous, like something was happening. But no one really knew the scope of it yet. The community didn't know the scope of it. The folks that were up in Napa, Sonoma, and Mendocino, they knew loud and clear what was happening. And what was happening was one of the largest wildfires in the state of California. And it was just utterly terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. 44 people died, almost 300,000 acres burned. 9,000 buildings, structures were burned to the ground, and it all happened in about 48 hours. That level of destruction, right? So it's on the equivalency of like of an earthquake. Like everyone in California knows that we're susceptible to wildfires, and we always have been. It's like it happens and it's happened before, and it'll happen again. But nobody really knows when and where. So one of the firefighters had shown me a map of a fire that broke out in 1966 that had almost the same footprint as the Tubbs fire that took over parts of Sonoma and Santa Rosa. But that was 1966. And so we have wildfires that kind of break out every year, but they're really, really small, and then they get handled pretty quickly. Cal Fire and, you know, our storm jumpers, like, they kind of take care of that pretty quickly. But this is an order of magnitude that no one knows how to deal with. And that's the scary thing about the climate crisis that we're kind of going through right now. The air and the ground, it's so incredibly brittle. It gets so hot in Northern California now. And these are just weather conditions that's happening all over the world. Like London hits almost 100 degrees, like unprecedented temperatures that are starting to like really kind of change the environment. So now that we have this extended season that's literally turning into what we call fire season now, right? And so the way that the East Coast and the Gulf Coast will have a hurricane season, we have a fire season. And after 2017, and so we filmed the story, interviewed everyone, and I don't want to give too much of the movie away, because I can't wait for you to see it. I cannot wait, because you and I have been talking about it for a long time, right? I cannot wait to share this movie with you, specifically you, because I think you'll really love it, right? That when we finished the movie, we were hoping that this would be the fire of the generation, like the big Chicago fire, right. like the something that your grandparents talked about. When we were screening the movie in Napa for the Napa Film Festival on October 9th, 2018, a year and a day later, the fire in Butte County broke out and destroyed the town of Paradise in 9 hours, and 200 people died. So this level of destruction is, you know, we're really nervous about this new season that's kind of coming up, that how do we deal with climate change, and are we prepared to live in a world where nature can just consume a big portion of the land and kill and displace a lot of people with a brush of a hand in hours? How do you deal with situations like that?
Well, I think having a movie like this is a conversation starter in a bunch of different ways and for great platforms. And the listeners will know that you do a lot of this stuff. I mean, you're always really passionate about issues, whether it is, you know, food in schools and things like that. And you get in and you try to share what's wrong with it and some of the things that we can do. I think it really makes you feel real powerless. We think in this day and age a lot of times that the things that we have set in place as far as first responders or techniques or technology or best practices, right, can kind of save us. And you look at just what can be done and what can be lost. The special thing about this movie, and I think that process, is even with the wildfires, and you see all that devastation, it's on the news all the time, you know, a lot of natural disasters and hurricanes and things like that, they're personal stories, and we all feel bad. And we all kind of, we empathize, and we sit there and put ourselves in that situation. When you can kind of tell the story of an industry that touches so much, that is in a place where, you know, when it's affected, the world is affected in a lot of different ways. I think it sheds a different, I think it puts it in a different context and allows you to say, like, this, it isn't just, you know, an individual story about a family losing what it is that they have or even their lives, and that's horrible. But this kind of puts it in a different category, and you're able to kind of share things that maybe everybody can relate to. People think it's a million miles away, but on the wine side and on the food side, everyone's there.
Everyone's there. And so a lot of people ask me, you know, about the 2017 vintage. Is it going to be okay? Was it ruined? And thank God, most of the wine and most of the grapes had already been harvested. So the wine was in process of fermentation, right? So it was protected in stainless steel casks and tanks and that kind of thing. So it's fine, right? I'm sure some wine critic somewhere along the line is going to be able to determine that, you know, the 2017 cab has a smoky tinge to it. You know, someone's going to say something about that, but for the most part, it was really devastating for the community. But then now that, you know, I'm on tour with the movie, so we're going to the St. Louis Obispo Film Festival after this, and then Sonoma International Film Festival. Right, that returning home with the film, I feel like in a lot of ways I'm just an ambassador for the state of California. Right, like we'd love to have you. Would love to come out if you want a great vacation. Please drink California juice if you want to do something locally. Right, and so it's just. It's one of our national treasures as Americans, right? Like, it's one of the parts of the country we're most proud of, right? I mean, we like California, Napa, Sonoma. It means the same thing to everybody in the world, and we're super proud of it, not only on a national level, but especially in California. And these were our neighbors that were impacted in a lot of ways. And it's not just about us in our own silo. Like, we care for everybody, like the hurricane victims in Houston, Texas, and Panhandle of Florida and North Carolina, and the tornado victims last week in Alabama. And there were tornadoes in the winter. It's weird, man. Like, we're in a weird weather pattern now that we really have to start paying attention to, and a lot of climate scientists will tell us that we're not going to realize that we're in the middle of a climate crisis until we just are. And you're not going to realize it. So like the climate. So there's a couple of things that I try to leave people with at the end of the movie, right? Two things, right? Have a conversation with somebody this week about the environment and the climate crisis that we're in. Just have a conversation, right? Because I think that's the most important thing. Like, what are we doing about it? How do you feel about it? And so people just become more aware and we're talking about it, right? Because we have to do something. We have to act fast. And I really hope that it is a critical part of the 2020 election cycle that people are voting for the environment. They're voting for how we want to live in the future and protecting our children and the climate, right? And the other thing I think is another important message to walk out of the film with is just to do something kind to someone else. Because I think the movie inspires humanity, inspires me. I've seen the movie 200 times, and I get so teared up every single time because the guys of the community pulled together, and it was about a community that got devastated, and then a community that came together to fix it. And it's a really, really gorgeous story about the real model, right? The real model that it takes to solve a lot of problems that we have with education and with homelessness and fire prevention and nutrition, and you can go on and on and on. But together as a community, we can really rise and answer a lot of the social ills that we're faced with today and solve them with dignity and solve them with grace and solve them together.
So much greater than the sum of the parts, Tyler, what you do as far as, of course, an entertainer on the food side, but so big in a bunch of different ways. What the listeners may not know is that you're part of the Face of California campaign. So you're there sharing in an official capacity a lot of those great things that happen. It's interesting to see the double-edged sword of it, right? Where you have to also share a little bit of the downside of it. When you're here for Cooper's Hawk, and one of the things I think even here, making wine more approachable, making the wine world more approachable, even making troubles and challenges in the wine world more approachable, like here with Cooper's Hawk, that's kind of what they do too. So talk a little bit about, last thing is, you know, kind of getting together with them for this event.
Cooper's Hawk is a really incredible company. I met the CEO and their executive chef and their whole management team at the Aspen Food and Wine Classic, I think about 3 years ago. And so we've collaborated on a few different wines in the past, and it's always just been a blast to kind of get together with them and blend some fabulous wine and to be able to go out and then, you know, throw fantastic parties and really kind of celebrate that, because there's something very special about the community that they built. And it's about the restaurants, which I think the food was fantastic, but it's also about their love of wine and their team and the communities that they're kind of pulling together. They go on fantastic trips, they tour wine regions around the world, and they throw really fun events, very similar to what we're doing right now. And that's what I love about that. So I just applaud Cooper's Hawk for hosting us tonight. And so this is an exclusive Cooper's Hawk Wine Club event. Yep. So you have to be a member to come. And it's just an amazing group to be associated with. So it's been fantastic. But I got to tell you, more than all of that, it's great to see you again. Dude. I got to tell you, I get a chance to talk to everybody, but dude, every time, because you and I text each other, we DM each other all the time, I love talking to you. I think you're great. You love your beat. You love chefs. You love food. You love culture. You love cars. You love everything. And it's kind of cool to get back together with you, man.
So well, it's cool to be here with you as well. They throw a lot of great events, and the ones that you're involved with are some of the best. So thanks for coming in. Thanks for doing that, sharing the movie Uncrushable, and thanks for being on WGN today.
Always, man. Thanks so much.